So what made you want to own a business like this? Did you have a previous occupation that had to do with wine and beer? Or?
Yeah, I was in beer and wine distribution for over 10 years. I previously worked in restaurants, retail. So I had the background for it. And the company I had been working for over 5 years merged with another company. And the writing was kind of on the wall that I wasn't going to be part of the plan. So my wife and I had a conversation, and we decided to start this in this area.
So what made you want to be your own boss?
I've always had the sort of itch to start my own business. And so the situation with the merger, it just seemed like a perfect time to do it. I'm young enough, so if it doesn't work out as well, I can still recoup. But it just seemed like the right time, at the right place at the right time.
Why wine and beer? Why not liquors? Or just you just had a fascination for wine and beer ever since then?
Well, that's what I've done. I've done wine and beer distribution. I've never really done liquor distribution. It seemed like the original business idea was to be a convenient store for the neighborhood, since we don't have anything in this area. And liquor doesn't really play into that. Beer and wine, you could pick it up for dinner tonight, but liquor doesn't play into that.
Why is it that you decided to go towards the lower end instead of, a more known brand?
Well, 85% of all wine that's sold is meant to be consumed within a week of purchase. So being a high-end wine area, high-end wine retailer, you're only playing towards 15% of the market. So being a more convenient, everyday wine, wine for the consumers, wines that are off the beaten path, it's the demographics of this area lend more towards that than it does the higher end ones. If I were in Charleston, it may be a different situation, but I'm in Columbia, so it's not that way.
What's it like to be your own boss? Have you learned anything over the 3 years that maybe you didn't know, not running your own shop? Or?
There is no day off. That's the thing that I've learned, is that I can't sell on Sunday, but I'm still thinking about it. I'm still running errands. It truly is a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week job.
I've seen that online that you're in the process of trying to expand.
Yes.
How's that process going, and what made you want to expand more than what you have right now?
This area doesn't have any place to hang out. Doesn't have a restaurant, doesn't have a bar, a local place for us to hang out. And so to help further serve the neighborhoods, that's one reason why we want to do that, is because there isn't a place. There's over 2,112 households within a mile radius of this place. And I consider that walking distance. So it'd be just really nice for the neighborhoods to have a place to kind of call their own and just kind of walk here, hang around with other neighbors, and then walk home.
Explain the idea behind the wine tastings and the little social gatherings that you have. How does that help you as the owner connect with your community? To get to know you on a personal level, not just as a business owner.
Well, it does have a sort of social aspect to it. I hate to use the phrase, but I do kind of walk around and kind of work the crowd, make sure everyone is having a good time, make sure they got what they need. But on the other side, we've always been about sort of education. We don't have national brands on our shelves. And because of that, people aren't familiar with some of our stuff. So we have these tastings to sort of show people what real wine is supposed to taste like. Wines from Greece, wines from Portugal. We usually have a rosé blowout because people still think that, you have to have blue hair to enjoy pink wine. And it's just never the case. So it's always nice to hear people say, I never would have suspected of wine coming out of Greece that tasted like that. So, and it's happened a number of times, so it actually makes me feel really good.
Can you talk about the process of, someone stepping in here for the first time and, not knowing, what kind of wine goes with what kind of beer mm-hmm. they should get for a certain, time of year? How do you learn that process of explaining to a first-timer what to purchase?
Well, I usually ask a number of questions. You've got about 30 seconds to kind of figure this out. So I usually have a number of questions that I ask people, particularly if they're here for the first time. If you've had wine in the past, what wines have you enjoyed? Is there supposed to go food? So, you know, some very clear questions, even what kind of coffee do you enjoy? That tells me what kind of wines I should start thinking about to suggest for you.
All right, so what is your favorite, you know, type of wine? Or do you have a favorite type of craft beer? Is there something that, you know, you prefer different time of year, different type of food?
Yeah, there's certainly a seasonality to it. I always get asked this question, you know, what's your favorite wine? And people always expect me to have a very clear answer, but, you know, real wine lovers will never have a definitive answer to that question. It's because your mood changes, your meal changes, your friends change. You know, the one thing, the overlying sort of style that I do enjoy is about balance and about sort of being true to its original nature. Like, if I have a French wine, I want it to taste like a French wine. Right now, there's a huge sort of globalization where wines just kind of taste general. You know, Cabernet just kind of tastes like a Cabernet. But when I try French wine, I want to be able to taste it, or an Italian wine. There's a reason why there's a sense of place. There's a reason why wine-growing regions have made their wine a particular way for a very long time. And I like wines that sort of hold on to that. And that sort of that balance also goes over into beers, where I don't particularly like overly hoppy beers. I like beers that have a nice balance, where you don't taste the hops, you don't taste the alcohol. It's a really nice, enjoyable drink.
You know, you're not in this business on your own. You know, you have your wife, I understand, is also a part owner. Can you just talk about that relationship between you two going into a business for the first time together?
Well, my wife is very supportive. She helps out when I need. She helps out with the tastings. She's just one of the best extra sets of hands that I have. The day-to-day operations, she has really turned it over to me. She's very trusting that we're making the right decisions here. So that sort of dynamic is, one of communication. I do keep her up to date with what's going on, problems we're having, solutions, so on and so forth. But in terms of day-to-day operations, it's all on me. She's just kind of like an extra ear to turn, or, an extra set of hands that when I need it.
Can you talk about what you've seen in the 3 years that you've been here, the growth, the anticipated growth, and what this part of Colombia could eventually become?
Well, yeah, certainly in the 3 years I've been here, it's I wouldn't say it's changed dramatically. I would say that the attitude towards this area has changed dramatically. One of the hardest things that I had when I started this was trying to get money from bankers to start this. I heard a number of times that it's the slum, we're not going to invest in this area, there's nothing else around you, you know, we're not going to invest in this area because, you know, what you see on Main Street is not indicative to the neighborhoods that are behind it. But it's still that stigma that this is the slums. So when we did get the money for it, we went right ahead, and we've, every year we've seen double-digit growth. Right now we're sitting at 11% over this time last year, which is, you know, double what banks like to have. So I'm kind of thumbing my nose at the bankers that said no. You know, it's been 3 years. We're still here. The lights are still on. And the neighborhoods have been nothing but supportive. I would say 85% of my business comes from the contiguous neighborhoods. In terms of what's changing right now, we have a Warmouth barbecue coming in. They should be open probably December or January. The same developer, Frank Kaysen, who is developing that property, is looking at a number of other properties in this area. And I think the baseball stadium development, no matter what anybody thinks about it, I think it's going to change that idea that this part of town is the slums. But if you look at a map, the city can only expand through this area. It's, you know, every other direction it's expanded into. But this is the only way that people can go. There's lots of properties that are available. But I'll be very honest, I'm very tired of being alone. I wish someone else would, you know, kind of follow me and come in here. And I hear grumblings of some things, but nothing is really solidified as of yet.